A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard about the fame of Jesus, and he said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He has been raised from the dead. That is why these powers are at work in him." For Herod had seized John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John said to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." And though he wanted to put him to death, he feared the people, because they held him to be a prophet. But when Herod's birthday came, the daughter of Herodias danced before the company, pleased Herod, so that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. Prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me the head of John the Baptist here on a platter." And the king was sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he commanded it to be given. He sent and had John beheaded in the prison, and his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took the body and buried it, and they went and told Jesus. Herod, of course, seemed like a powerful man, but in fact he's quite pushed around, really, by public opinion, by what others will think, by the women in his life. He takes a vow and promises something to Herodias, the daughter of Herodias, which he feels he must honour. There's a certain irony in this, a false integrity at the service of wickedness. In his cups, Herod is decisive and insists on keeping an oath. The whole point of John the Baptist's conflict with him was the integrity of vows and the integrity of oaths and the importance of people not breaking their word. And yet in these circumstances, Herod presents himself as someone who must show integrity and observe the oath he has promised. So a small man showing power in this situation. In the bigger picture, Herod is fearful, perplexed, split, pushed around. He seems to be powerful and in fact is at a loss. By contrast, John the Baptist is powerless. He is imprisoned. He is soon to be executed. He's an outsider, but he knows what justice requires, and his integrity is at the service of goodness. He knows something about the reliability of vows and oaths and words given, the importance of remaining faithful to the truth and to the requirements of justice. And he's not pushed around by what others will think, by public opinion. Not that he necessarily saw the bigger picture either, but he was sustained by his faith in God. This is a striking thing about the prophets and the martyrs. They know what is required, they know what is right. As with Jeremiah in the first reading today, they know what the word of the Lord is that they must speak. The consequences of that speaking are not, in a sense, their concern. They must do what is right and leave the outcome to God. So the power they serve is not their own building of power, but the power of God's word, the power of God's justice, and the power of God's kingdom being established in the world. It's true of Jeremiah. It's true of John the Baptist here. It's true of someone like St. Thomas More, for example, who sees that he must remain faithful to his understanding of truth and justice without seeing the bigger picture. None of the prophets and martyrs could know what their own impact was to be, what their own place in history would turn out to be. What they must do in the circumstances in which they find themselves is what is right, what justice and conscience requires, and leave the outcome to God. So they are people who are powerless in the terms of this world. They end up imprisoned, very often they end up martyred. But in fact, they are secure in the greater power, secure in their fidelity to God and in their service of God's word, God's justice, God's law.